20 years ago, suburbanites used to go down to Detroit the night before Halloween to watch the vacant houses burn. This was called Devil's Night, and one of the most ghastly urban customs in America, people somehow got it in their heads that it was all right to set fires the day before Halloween. Naturally, this added to Detroit's reputation as the murder city from hell. Sadly, many people elsewhere in Michigan thought this was amusing and had nothing to do with them. As if this whole state didn't suffer from the fact that our largest city was being seen worldwide as a ghastly dystopian horror. Fortunately, saner heads began to prevail, and soon after Dennis Archer was elected mayor in 1993, the authorities and outraged citizens put an end to this bizarre annual arson spree. But I was reminded of Devil's Night by something that happened this week. 3 days ago, 10 fires swept through a number of Detroit neighborhoods, mostly on the especially impoverished east side. Most were evidently caused by high winds and downed power lines. A couple seemed to have been arson. What really mattered, however, was that it was painfully clear that this was just too much for the city to handle. Things could have been worse. Nobody was killed or even injured, though some families are now homeless. 85 structures were destroyed or damaged, but some were vacant. To cope, Detroit had to call on help from 6 other communities. The city simply can't afford enough firefighters anymore. That's not the only problem. Detroit has fewer than 800,000 people in a space that once housed almost 2 million. The infrastructure is crumbling, and there's not nearly enough money. As a result, as Detroiter Rochelle Riley notes in today's Free Press, we have an understaffed police department that cannot control crime. We have an aging water system that could give way. That's no exaggeration. What happened is that many people made their fortunes in the city and left. Those left behind are largely those who can't afford to leave. Things are not going to get better anytime soon unless we have the political will to do something about it. And there is a way. My urban policy guru is a former big city mayor named David Rusk, who wrote a remarkable little book called Cities Without Suburbs. His thesis is this: elastic cities thrive. Inelastic cities die. Elastic cities are those which can add territory, like Los Angeles. Detroit hasn't been able to do so. It's surrounded by other incorporated cities. So, here's what we should do. The legislature should order the merger of Detroit and Wayne County. This has worked in places like Miami, Indianapolis, and Nashville. True, it would cost suburbanites money in the short term. It would cost Detroiters some political power. But Michigan would soon have a stronger, healthier, and more vibrant major city. That would be a bold, even a radical step. Or we could go on as now, until eventually the state has to appoint an emergency financial manager and Detroiters will lose all political power. And we'll all end up paying for it big time. An ounce of prevention really is worth a pound of cure. Maybe it's time we all got the courage to do the right thing.